What's up, guys? Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic instant reaction from Iowa State's 86-69 loss to Texas today down in Austin. As always, our instant reaction brought to you by Carl Chevrolet, your dealer for life, Ankeny and Stewart at The Rock. Check them out. It's Carl Chevrolet, presenting sponsor of the Cyclone Fanatic instant reaction podcast / Facebook Live. All right. Well, I would say there's really one good word for what just happened down in Austin, and that was absolute disaster. Iowa State probably played, I mean, it felt like one of their worst games of the year, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Texas team coming off of blowing a 19-point lead to Baylor earlier this week. And they come out and, you know, shoot 60% from the three-point line. Jace Febres, who is by far the best three-point shooter for the Longhorns, he shoots 8 of 10 from three-point range, 9 of 11 from the field for 26 points. I mean, the dude hit 7 three-pointers Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whenever that was, against Baylor. There's no excuse for as open as he was for huge points of the game. And, you know, there were times when Iowa State was really struggling in their rotations, and the dude was just he was wide open, and you let him get some confidence. You know, Courtney Ramey gets some confidence. He goes 3 for 4 from 3-point range, 18 points on the night. Texas as a team hits 15 three-pointers, and you know, there was a point in the season when Texas was probably one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country, and it was, you know, that certainly was not the case tonight or this afternoon. I don't think it's been the case here the last several games. I think they've flipped a little bit of a switch, but it was still kind of unbelievable to see the number of times that Febres, who, like I said, is clearly the best three-point shooter on the team, the number of times that he was able to get completely wide open. And, you know, you mentioned, why did we keep doubling down in the comments, Nick? And I think that is a fair question, especially with Febres. But I think as much as anything, it was a lack of awareness a lot of times, where it seemed like guys just didn't know where he was on the court. And when you have a guy that's as good a shooter as he is, the idea of not knowing where he is on the court is problematic to me. I don't know where you're at mentally if that's the case, but that was a serious struggle. And it wasn't just the defensive end of the floor. I mean, like I mentioned, Texas shoots 55% from the field, 60% from three-point range. They go 13 of 15 from the free throw line, only had 7 offensive rebounds. But it seemed like even when Iowa State maybe was trying to act like they were going to make a little bit of a run, you know, you get a stop and then you give up an offensive rebound. So they were almost, it was more that they were timely than they were anything else. And, you know, I think that the way Iowa State finished the first half of the game really sunk them. And, you know, I wrote earlier in the week, I talked about it on the radio show this week with Brent Bloom, and I've said it again and again. It sounds like an oversimplification, but when this team does not make shots, they really can go away quickly, you know, and like you see in the first half where they go 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it was. I don't even remember the exact amount of time. You go a long period of the game where you don't score, or the only points that you do get are coming from the free throw line. It's not anything where you're actually creating offense. And you saw Texas go on, I think it was a 15-2, 15-3 run. And from there on out, it really never got back to being a good game. And, you know, I think one thing that was really frustrating to me, and this is something that the commentators noted right after right after halftime, is that Merrill Shout comes out. He goes 2 for 3, I think, in the first 5 minutes of the game. It seemed like he was maybe going to have a performance similar to what he did Monday night against Oklahoma. In the end, he had a pretty good performance. He finished 8 for 14 from the field, 3 of 5 from three, 22 points. So about what we normally expect from Merrill. But he only had, I think he had 4 field goal attempts within the first minute of the second half. And you, when you have a guy that is that good, a guy that is capable of getting buckets at that level, you can't have it where he only gets 3 shots in the first half, 4 shots in the first half, whatever it was. That to me makes no sense. And when Steve Prohm was starting to run actions for him early on in the second half, you started to see him get going a little bit. where were those actions in the first half when you're seeing too many times where Iowa State is just standing around offensively? I think there's the clip that Jack Whitford tweeted out where it literally was four people standing around watching Talen Horton-Tucker dribble. And Talen Horton-Tucker can really handle the basketball. But there's a lot of other things that I'd rather do than just stand there and watch him dribble. And for some reason, it seemed like in the first half, they really got into a funk where that's all they were doing is just standing around and watching each other dribble. And I don't remember the exact point when Nick Wyler-Babb got hurt. I don't know how much that maybe, made an impact on that first half. It bruised knee. He was able to play in the second half, obviously. But it just felt like the stagnation that we have seen at times from this Iowa State offense was at its absolute peak during that stretch. And that's where I think you do have to go and you say, all right, I know that Coach Prohm sometimes he doesn't like to run set plays. He thinks these guys are good at just playing basketball. But I think it was clear during that stretch that that was not what they needed to be doing. And they need to run plays for guys like Shayok. They need to run plays for Lindell Wigginton, whatever it is, to figure out a way to get some open looks. And, if you're not able to do that, then you put yourself into a really dangerous situation. And, you go, I guess, 1-for-7 in the first half of the game from 3-point range. That, I don't think we can get too – I don't think we can get too worked up over that just because of the fact that we haven't seen this team shoot the ball that well, that consistently for a lot of the season. But it's just it is those times, like I said, where when the ball is not going in the basket and the way that you are running your offense or lack thereof of organized offense, you have to do something to try and create some of those opportunities. They did it in the second half. They didn't do it in the first half. And in the first half is when they really dug their grave and were never able to get back out of that hole. And, I said at the beginning, it felt like a disaster type performance. I think there was one positive that you can take away. Cam Lard doesn't make the trip down to Texas, violation of team rules. They were really hitting him hard on the TV broadcast. I get it. Talking about how big of a disappointment it is to your teammates, you're letting people down. Like I said, I get it. But I think that you can take some positive outlook out of that in the fact that George Condit played really well in his minutes. I can pull up his stats here. 11 points, 5-of-7 from the field, 4 rebounds in 16 minutes. And I think that it is a time now where if Cam is going to continue to put the team in positions like this, you have to do more. You have to consider more the idea of playing George. And it's almost just to get Cam to wake up a little bit. And I don't mean to put it that way. I don't want to be too hard about that because we don't know what's going on with Cam. And it sounds like it's just a one game deal. I think that if it was anything worse or if it was anything bad, I hate to say it, but who knows how long Cam's leash is right now. I would think that the fact that it's just one game tells us it can't be that terrible. But I do think that George Condit, in the time that he has played, he has done something now to earn some of those minutes away from Cameron Lard and Michael Jacobson. And I think that he played really well tonight here. Just looking at some more. Yeah, very frustrating game. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it all comes down to is it's that Monday night. It was like maybe they finally some of these guys have woke up. You hear Mariel Shayok say all these things about how he's not going to have all these regrets leaving Iowa State. He's going to give his 100% every minute of the game and all this different kind of stuff. He's going to really try and take advantage of this final stretch. We saw him do it in the second half. It didn't happen in the first half. And I don't know what you can do right now to just get this team to where they can play a full 40 minutes. When's the last time that we saw them play a full 40 minutes? I don't think I even would know when it is. Kansas State, I guess that's probably the closest that you're going to get to it. And even then right now, that feels like it was almost a blip on the radar when you consider some of the losses they had previous to that, some of the losses that they've had since then, and the way that they've played in some of these games. So, I mean, you have all of a sudden gone from 2 weeks ago, whatever that was, two weeks ago, where you're in Manhattan and you're in the thick of the Big 12 title race. Now you're 9-7 in Big 12 play, 20-9 on the year. completely out of the Big 12 title race, not even a consideration. And they almost just need to, I mean, they got to figure out something to get some sort of momentum going into Kansas City, going into the NCAA tournament, because right now it's hard to feel too positive about what there is cooking right now for this team. It just doesn't feel like there is much cooking for this team right now. Hopefully they can change my mind. You know, you go to Morgantown this week. That's a game that Iowa State should win. Obviously, West Virginia is not a good basketball team. Maybe you can figure out a way to win that game next Saturday against Texas Tech. And then maybe all of a sudden we all feel a lot more positive going into Kansas City. But right now it doesn't feel like things are really going in the right direction right now. And I'm not really sure what it's going to take to turn that around, just because it feels like some of this stuff is what it is. You know, some of these guys are who they're going to be. We're 28 games into 29 games now into the year. But I, like I said, you know, kind of just to wrap things up, defensively, it felt like there was not enough guys that were really committed to the scouting report, that were really committed to what they needed to do in the game, the way that Jace Fedris was able to get open and open over and over and over again, I think really exhibits that. And then the way that you don't run offense in the first half, or the way that you're trying to run your offense, way you don't run offense, however you want to put it, I think that they need to do something to change that. They need to get a little bit more structured in things and try and create some shots for guys like Mario Shayok, where he can't start to kind of shy away from things and end up with only 3 field goal attempts from the first half. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully we can have a more positive instant reaction after that game against West Virginia later this week. Of course, Chris is down in Austin. He'll have full coverage for you guys on CycloneFanatic.com. Thanks again to Carl Chevrolet for being the presenting sponsor of the Cyclone Fanatic Instant Reaction. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend.